Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, November 18th. Council approves drilling at Air Park. Bonus expected to bring $9.2 million to city's funds more than 20 years. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The Midland City Council approved drilling that will take place at Midland Air Park and is expected to bring in revenue for the city's airport fund and general fund. Specifically, the council unanimously approved an oil and gas lease and surface use agreement with Midland Petro DC Partners. The operator will be Permian Deep Rock. In the council agenda packet, it states that Midland Pro DC Partners proposed a bonus of $12,500 per net mineral. That will mean $9.2 million for the city's airport fund and general fund. Other highlights include $750,000 payment to reconstruct Veterans Air Park, use of quiet frack fleet system, closed loop mud system, 24-foot sound walls on all sides, temporary access to well sites off Big Spring, payment of $1 million in relocation of the Citizens Collection Center within 5 years. During public meetings held this summer, Permian Deep Rock officials stated other royalties and fees could mean that the amount the city could expect over 20 years could grow to $182 million. That figure depends on the price of oil and productivity of the wells, but is very realistic, they said. Councilman Scott Dufford said this week that 75% of the revenue from royalties and fees is likely to go to the airport fund and 25% to the general fund. Of the money that will go to the general fund, he expects, quote, most of those funds will be dedicated to the park system, like city agreements with Parsley and Pioneer. Quote, we are not going to rely on oil and gas to balance the budget, Dufford said. It will be used for capital items and go for parks, end quote. As far as the money that is earmarked for the airport fund, Dufford says he expects much of it will fund expansion and development of Midland International Airport and the build-out of the airport's east side. Councilwoman Lori Blong said after Tuesday's meeting that the airpark location is the most ideal location to have drilling and to develop the minerals in the middle of town. She added that the city and some residences will benefit from the minerals. She also said there are at least 100 jobs connected to the project. The following are other notes about the project at Midland Air Park, including information taken from previous comments made by Permian Deep Rock officials Wayne Bailey, Vice President of Land and Legal, and General Manager Keith Busey. The project will include its own turning lane for its trucks that are coming from the north off Big Spring Street, its own road on the property for trucks to drive to well sites, an exit from its acreage just to the west of the recycling center, where traffic will move on to Smith Road, dust abatement, including roads with all-weather material to prohibit dust, noise abatement, including 24-foot tall sound walls and a majority of operations that will use electric motors. No drilling mud kept on the 14-plus acres. No flaring taking place on site. Pipelines will be buried, and Permian Deep Rock will use lines to move gas north of the site and oil, water, and wastewater destined to frack ponds and injection wells, respectively, in South Midland. No housing of employees and no seismic work.
Official, drilling at Air Park won't spur quake issue, by Stuart Doreen. Permian Deep Rock General Manager Keith Busey told the Midland City Council Tuesday that the company doesn't expect an earthquake problem with the drilling and production in the Midland Air Park area in north central Midland. Busey said earthquakes in the Midland area is not something new, but that everyone is aware that the frequency has increased. Coincidentally, the U.S. Geological Survey reported the strongest quake in or around Midland in more than a month took place Tuesday, a 3.5 magnitude quake at 2:36 a.m., 9 miles north-northwest of Midland at a depth of 4.84 miles, according to the USGS. EarthquakeTrack.com reported Wednesday afternoon that three more happened since the Tuesday morning tremor, two northwest of Big Spring and another north-northwest of Midland. A 2.7 magnitude quake around 9:25 p.m. Tuesday. Busey said the increased activity is related to deep injection in the area, and Permian deep rock has isolated it down to potentially three or four wells, probably the main culprits. He also said that more faulting, and therefore more natural activity, exists north and west in Ector, Andrews, and Martin counties, and that Midland is approximately 7 to 10 miles south of that. He stated Midland is in an area that is tectonically very quiet. EarthquakeTrack.com reports that 23 quakes have taken place in the last 30 days in and around Midland, including areas near Big Spring and La Mesa. The total in the past 365 days is 223, according to the website. That total pales to the 1,259 earthquakes that has taken place in a region that includes Pecos and Mentone. Michael Trost was the only council member to comment during the meeting about the seismic activity, calling the activity level not unusual. He also said a large earthquake is probably a way of the future, specifically because of plate movement and not the oil industry. Concerning the project at Air Park, Busey said saltwater disposal will take place 5 miles south of the Air Park area in an existing disposal well.
Pfluger opposes Biden mandate. U.S. representative says vaccine order is tyrannical, signs GOP resolution. The story was written by Caitlin Randall. U.S. Representative August Pfluger joined 160 House Republicans in signing onto a Congressional Review Act resolution that will attempt to block the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for businesses with more than 100 employees. The resolution, authored by Representative Fred Keller, a Republican from Pennsylvania, was filed in conjunction with a bill from 50 Republican senators. In a press release, Pfluger called the mandate unconstitutional and said it forces, quote, hardworking Texans to choose between their jobs and a personal medical decision, end quote. Quote, Congress has the ability to nullify this tyrannical mandate, and we should, he said. Our country faces serious problems with skyrocketing inflation, supply chain backlogs, and a shortage of workers. This mandate will only exacerbate these crises further, end quote. Pfluger was asked about vaccine mandates during his re-election campaign announcement last week. He said, quote, the subject is fraught with overreach and is an infringement on our liberties and our freedoms. It's not about the vaccine, it's about control, he said. We have to understand that they want to control us and they're using any mechanism possible, end quote. He also touched on what he called the difficult decision medical entities will need to make regarding whether to enforce mandates for their employees or no longer accept Medicare or Medicaid. The Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services has set a December 5th deadline for healthcare workers to receive an initial dose of the vaccine. Pfluger said the right choice for businesses is to support employees by taking a stand against mandates. At least 26 states have filed lawsuits against the Biden administration's vaccine mandate, which were consolidated into one lawsuit on Tuesday in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. House Republicans will need 218 votes to advance the Congressional Review Act resolution filed Wednesday. If passed by the House and Senate, the CRA would overrule the vaccine mandate and prohibit the Biden administration from introducing it again in the future. Small Bites. Family-friendly fun is on the menu at Mule Barn Cantina. Venue at former Hog Pit site expected to open later this month. The story was written by J.C. Lewis. The Mule Barn Cantina is poised to bring back a popular concert venue and bar, but this time with Moscow mules and tacos as the specialty instead of barbecue. The previous Hog Pit is being renovated to be the Mule Barn Cantina at 7400 West County Road 116. The new bar, restaurant, and concert venue is projected to open on November 29th. Managing partner Braxton Dunaway said the bar will have mule flights with different types of mules, including Moscow and Mexican mules. The venue will also be doing mimosa flights. A flight is an order of samplings or tastings of selected beverages. Quote, "The name was mostly random," he said. "Then I started thinking that we could do Moscow mules, and so it all really came together," end quote. The tentative menu will feature burgers and street tacos. Other standout food options include quail poppers, bacon jalapeno cheese fritters, brisket-loaded fries, and upside-down bucket nachos that feeds three people, green chili mac and cheese, West Texas Philly, and a Mexican ball. The kitchen will also make its own mule barn sauce. Dunaway said they had thought about doing barbecue like the Hog Pit, but decided against it due to the price of meat and how labor-intensive it is. Quote, "Throughout the week, we plan on having specials during lunchtime at least three times a week," he said. He added that the venue will be family-friendly. The kids' menu features nachos, quesadilla, burger with fries, and chicken tenders. Plus, the menu has a fun crossword and coloring options. Quote, "We have done a lot of work on the patio," he said. "We will put a playscape in the back where it's fenced in. If people want to bring their kids out during the day on Saturday to run around, they can, but at night it will be more of a bar atmosphere," end quote. He added that it is a really exciting time to be opening a business in Midland, especially with the addition of the tailgate and Fair to Midland. Dunaway says the venue wants to focus on promoting local. That includes highlighting local alcohol companies as well as local bands. The patio area will have two sets of cornhole, a beer bong table, and fire pits during the winter. The venue is looking to have a grand opening party on New Year's Eve with a couple of local bands. The Mule Barn Cantina can comfortably seat 250 people, and 800 people could attend a concert there. To keep up to date about concerts, visit their Facebook page. Projected hours of operation will be 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to midnight Thursday through Saturday, except for concert nights, and the venue will be closed on Sundays. The Bites. Eccentric Brewing Company will have a Christmas beer release with a three-course meal catered by Chef Michael Olivas and the long-awaited release of 2021 Old Sugar Plum Christmas Stock Ale. The 2020 Old Christmas Sugar Plum is also available for purchase. Check it out at 6 p.m. Thursday. 25 seats are available and tickets are $125 each. Visit eccentricbrewery.com for more information. The Midland Farmers Market will be having a Shop Small Saturday event from 9 a.m. to noon on the lawn at the Museum of the Southwest. Beer, Bubbly, and Bingo takes place from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday at Rooster's Diner. Enjoy a night of bingo, prizes, eating, and shopping before the holidays. Beryl and Derek will have a Thanksgiving Day brunch from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Reservations are strongly encouraged. For more information, visit www.beryllanddereck.com. Cream Lab N7 announced that it will open a location in Odessa. The ice cream shop will be having its grand opening this Saturday inside Music City Mall next to Verizon. The shop will be open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. with a BOGO, buy one, get one, half-priced ice cream. The soft opening will be from 4 to 8 p.m. on Friday. Blue Moose Coffee Creations has announced new hours of 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays, and closed on Sundays. The coffee shop is located at 3303 West Illinois Avenue.
Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, November 18th. MPD, officer involved in non-fatal shooting. The Texas Rangers are investigating an officer-involved shooting that occurred Tuesday night in North Midland. Midland police responded Tuesday at 10:49 p.m. to the 3600 block of Edwards after receiving a call referencing drug activity. An MPD officer made contact with two males, and a scuffle ensued before the suspects fled on foot. The officer chased the suspects, and during the foot chase, one of the suspects, identified as Jason Velasquez, 19, fired a gun in the direction of the officer. The officer returned fire, hitting Velasquez. The second suspect, identified as D'Angelo Hernandez, 20, continued to flee and is still at large at this time. Velasquez was transported to a local hospital in stable condition. The officer was also transported for injury sustained during the incident and has since been released. Charges are pending against Velasquez, who also has an aggravated robbery warrant out of Harris County for aggravated robbery. A warrant for assault on a peace officer has been issued for Hernandez. NWS forecasts cold snap. A high temperature Thursday in the 50s and lows in the 30s are expected to be the immediate result of a cold front moving through the region on Wednesday night, according to the National Weather Service. On Wednesday afternoon, the National Weather Service tweeted about a cold front moving toward the Permian Basin with gusty north winds in its wake. The NWS said blowing dust had been observed along the leading edge of the system boundary and advised drivers to be prepared for reduced visibility. An outcome of that cold front will be a high temperature of 56 degrees on Thursday. That is 22 degrees lower than the high Wednesday. Also, lows dipping into the upper 30s are around 4 to 5 degrees lower than normal for this time of year. High temperatures will climb back into the upper 70s by Saturday. There is no rain in the 7-day forecast.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, November 18th, 2021. Community Calendar. Events. Animal Land and Party in the Park, 6 p.m. Thursday at Centennial Park. The Pirates of Penzance, 7 p.m. Thursday through Saturday at First United Methodist Church. Holiday Pop Spot, Friday and Saturday at the Bush Convention Center. The Gifty Grinchmas Market Friday and Saturday at the Horseshoe Arena. Midland Gun Exposition Saturday and Sunday at the Horseshoe Arena. Santa Land by Helicopter Saturday in Odessa, 10:30 a.m. at Music City Mall. Drop and Shop, 1 p.m. November 22nd at the Little Gym of Midland. Christmas Tree Market, 5 to 9 p.m. November 20th and November 27th at Parks Legado Town Center. Third Annual Midland Shop Hop, Small Business, Saturday, 10 a.m., November 27th, at Perch. The 2021 Community Tree Lighting, 6 p.m., November 30th, at Centennial Park. Midland College Holiday Evening, 4 to 9 p.m., December 2nd. Breakfast with Santa, 9 a.m., December 4th, at Hotel Settles in Big Spring. Jingle Bell Run, 5:30 p.m., December 4th, at Scarborough Elementary. The 2021 All-American Christmas Parade, presented by the City of Midland Parks and Recreation Division, 6:30 p.m., December 11th. Registration forms are available at the MLK Junior Community Center, 2300 Butternut Lane, the Parks Office, 2701 West Elizabeth, or online at www.midlandtexas.gov/Christmas. Somewhere in Your Silent Night, 3 to 8 p.m., December 12th, at First Baptist Church of Midland. Nonprofits. Peter and the Star Catcher, Friday and Saturday, December 3rd and 4th, and December 10th and 11th at Midland Community Theater. Animal Land and Party in the Park, 6 p.m. Thursday at Centennial Park. Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry Thanksgiving Lunch, 11:30 a.m. November 22nd, at 1401 Orchard Lane. Preview Party, Christmas at the Mansion, 7 to 10 p.m. December 2nd, at Museum of the Southwest. Nutcracker Brunch, 10 a.m. to noon, December 4th, at Museum of the Southwest. MOSC Pops, Sounds of the Season, 7 p.m. December 4th, at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Christmas Luncheon, noon to 1 p.m. December 6th, at Museum of the Southwest. Rain Beer X, 7 to 10 p.m. December 8th, at Museum of the Southwest. Mariachi Christmas, 6:30 p.m. December 9th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. MOSC presents the Lone Star Brass, 7:30 p.m. December 9th at the Wagner Brown Auditorium on Midland College campus. Holiday Tea, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. December 10th at Museum of the Southwest. Trains and Trucks, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. December 11th at Museum of the Southwest. Gingerbread Workshop, 1 to 3 p.m. December 11th at the Museum of the Southwest. Entertainment Calendar. Odessa Shakespeare Festival, As You Like It, 7 p.m. Friday at Globe of the Great Southwest. Clint Black featuring Lisa Hartman Black, 8 p.m. Friday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Odessa Shakespeare Festival, 12th night, 7 p.m. Saturday at Globe of the Great Southwest. Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox, 7 p.m. November 24th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Faruco, 7 p.m. November 25th, at La Hacienda Event Center. An Officer and a Gentleman, 2 p.m., November 28th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Zach Williams' I Don't Want Christmas to End Tour, 7:30 p.m., December 8th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Eslaban Armado y los Anchondo, 7 p.m., December 10th, at La Hacienda Event Center. ZZ Top, 8 p.m., December 12th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Stomp, Broadway in the Basin, 7:30 p.m., December 13th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Midland Festival Ballet presents The Nutcracker, December 18th and 19th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Lightwire Theater presents A Very Elegant Christmas, 7:30 p.m., December 20th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, November 18th. Barbara Ann Lowe Campbell, age 84, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, November 16th. Memorial service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, November 20th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will take place at Elmwood Cemetery in Woodward, Oklahoma. Barbara was born on September 20th, 1937, in Mutual, Oklahoma, to Armour and Clastine Lowe. Barbara is survived by her daughter, Tina Childers, of Midland, granddaughter Whitney Williams of Frisco, grandsons Tyler Hudson of Midland, and Dylan Childers of Lubbock. She is also survived by several great-grandchildren. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Jimmy Abney, age 53, of Midland, passed away on Friday, November 12th. Services will be held on 2 p.m. Saturday at Deepwater Chosen, located in Midland Chin Baptist Church, 2800 West Louisiana Avenue in Midland, 79701. Jimmy was born on February 1st, 1968, in Farmington, New Mexico, to Archie and Doris Abney. Jimmy graduated from Midland High School in 1986. Jimmy married his high school sweetheart on August 21st, 1986. They were married 35 years. Jimmy is survived by wife Tammy Abney, son Jacob Abney, granddaughters Melody, Remington, and Madison, father Archie Abney, sister Becky Tipton, brother Glenn Abney, and many nieces, nephews, great-nephews, and aunts. Jimmy is preceded in death by grandmother Pearlie Abney and mother Doris Abney. Arrangements are under the direction of Deepwater Chosen in Midland Chin Baptist Church, 2800 West Louisiana Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. John Douglas Matthews, age 61, passed away on September 26th in Houston. John was born in Charleston, West Virginia, on May 1st, 1960. He is preceded in death by his mother, Ruby V. Gammelspacher, stepfathers Arthur C. Gammelspacher and Robert Wayne Pardue, brothers Wyatt Allen Matthews and Denver Wayne Matthews. John was a longtime resident in Midland. He was well known for his expert knowledge in HVAC. John is survived by his sons, Christopher Matthews of Garland, Justin Matthews, daughter-in-law Stephanie, and grandson Jacob, all of Garland, Texas, Thomas Matthews of Rockwall, Texas, his sister, Sharon Pardue Brammer, and brother-in-law, Richard Brammer of Abilene, stepsister Vicki Gammelspacher-Funes of Phoenix, Arizona, nephews David Perez and wife Lauren of Abilene, Michael Perez and wife Justina of Abilene, and niece Chandy Perez of Abilene. Graveside service will be at 2 p.m. Friday, November 19th, at Elmwood Memorial Park in Abilene. Evie Lee Hopkins, age 91, of Midland, passed away on November 15th. Visitation was Wednesday, November 17th, at the funeral home. Graveside service will be held at 3 p.m. Thursday, November 18th, at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, November 18th, 2021. Landgraf seeking fifth House term. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, announced Wednesday his intention to seek a fifth term in the Texas House of Representatives. With a heart full of gratitude, I'll be asking my fellow West Texans to send me back to the Texas House of Representatives in the 2022 election to serve as our state representative, Landgraf said. Landgraf's announcement is in response to speculation that he would be running for a seat in the Texas Senate. I was born and raised in West Texas. I will never stop fighting for West Texas, and the Texas House of Representatives is where I can best fight for us and our conservative values, Landgraf said. We've made the voice of West Texas as strong as it has ever been in the Texas Capitol, and we are not done yet. Landgraf has been recognized by multiple conservative groups for his efforts in the Texas legislature to promote life, defend Texans' constitutional rights, cut taxes, secure the border, and to fight federal overreach. Landgraf said he will continue to fight for common sense conservative solutions that protect the rights of law-abiding Texans and prioritize individual liberty. He is chairman of the House Environmental Regulation Committee, which he said put him on the front lines of protecting the Texas oil and gas industry and the West Texans who power it from federal overreach by the Biden administration and liberal Democrats who've infiltrated Texas. With your vote and prayerful support, I'll keep my nose to the grindstone, pounding the pavement, and serving as a megaphone for West Texans at the state capitol, the way that I have since day one, Landgraf said. Landgraf is a native son of Odessa, whose family has been ranching in West Texas for five generations. He and his wife, Shelby, have one daughter, Hollis Rose. They enjoy volunteering together for local charities, and the family loves spending time together working on the family cattle ranch. They attend church at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Odessa. Pirates of Penzance set at FUMC. The University of Texas Vocal Ensemble is set to offer the comedic opera Pirates of Penzance at 7 p.m. today, Friday and Saturday, at First United Methodist Church, 415 North Lee Avenue. Performances are free and seating is open. The director and conductor is David Corman, UTPB Adjunct Professor of Voice, and Nicole Rujo Vanderford, UTPB Senior English Lecturer, is in charge of costumes and props. Cole Carter is in charge of sound, and choreography is by Maya Johnson. According to Royal Museum's Greenwich website, the operetta is set in Cornwall in Victorian times. It tells the adventures of the love-struck Frederick, who is indentured to a group of comically useless and tender-hearted pirates. This operetta explores the timeless themes of courage, duty, and honor, as well as being a social commentary of its times, the site said. Corman said, Pirates of Penzance is probably the most famous of Gilbert and Sullivan's operettas. They tried to do some serious work, but actually they found they were so good at comedy they kind of drifted toward these operettas, Corman said. They were giant successes about the turn of the century, about the 1990s. The show runs about an hour and a half and is sponsored by UTPB and First United Methodist Church, Corman said. The UTPB vocal ensemble has performed Into the Woods, Sweeney Todd, and The Three Little Pigs. About 20 students are part of the group. It's an interdisciplinary collaboration, Rujo Vanderford said. We are working toward a theater minor. We really hope to get to that point in the near future. So this is really just a fun way of bringing in music and English. In the future, we're going to bring in art to try and create a little larger scale productions. We're looking at some straight plays later. But for now, we're in the musical theater realm. Rujo Vanderford said she searches for costumes, but also embellishes them. We've ordered several of them from Amazon. But then we have a very small collection at UTPB. The Permian Playhouse was very generous and allowed me to go through their costume loft and pull some pieces. I go with the director's vision and what the director hopes to accomplish, so we have a little bit of a nod to the late 19th, early 20th century. Then we have some comical pieces, she said. Corman said the operetta is zany. That's something that's needed right now. We also added some characters and made it even more Monty Python-esque, a little because GNS is kind of something of the beginnings of the English humor. This is kind of zany, out-of-the-universe humor. Our goal is to make people laugh unashamedly. And I think out of COVID, we need a good belly laugh, Corman said. Rujo Vanderford said she likes Pirates of Penzance because it's very simple in terms of theater production. It's not the big, elaborate stage with settings and movable pieces. It's all about the characters coming through, and these kids are so talented. Their voices are beautiful. And that is what we're highlighting in this production. So it's really kind of honing in on the early theater style, Rujo Vanderford said. Corman said there is a lot of pattern music, but also operatic. That's also part of the reason I chose it, because I want my singers to experience tough singing, he said. Rujo Vanderford said she thinks the public is going to enjoy the piece and introduce them to a wonderful dimension of operatic arts. And it's a good production for all ages. Anyone can come in and enjoy this piece, she said. Corman added that it would be good even for grade school children. Coming in March 2022 will be the opera Pagliacci at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Santa lands Saturday via helicopter at mall. L.A. Roller Girls to highlight family holiday event. This year, weather permitting, Santa Claus will arrive by helicopter Saturday at Music City Mall in Odessa. Last year, due to a low cloud level of 900 feet, Father Christmas had to make his appearance at the mall via fire truck instead of the traditional helicopter entrance due to FAA safety rules. We've always had a contingency plan for that, and the Odessa Fire Department brought Santa in on a fire truck because the helicopter couldn't take off, Music City Mall General Director Greg Morgan said. However, Santa's arrival, which will take place in the Northwest parking lot at 10:30 a.m., won't be the only event going on this Saturday at Music City Mall. The mall will finally celebrate the grand opening of its new Rink and Roll skating rink with a performance by the L.A. Roller Girls. Following Santa's landing, the new rink replaces the ice skating rink area. The roller skate show is at 11 a.m. The L.A. Roller Girls, who have been featured on The Voice, Lip Sync Battle, and in a Bruno Mars music video, will have a 20-minute skate show that will be fast-paced and include aerobatics, music, and other special guests. At 5 p.m. Saturday, there will be a free learn to skate workshop that will be open to the public led by the L.A. Roller Girls. The festivities will kick off at 9 a.m., which includes bounce houses, music, characters, video games, and more. We're super excited for this Saturday's event, Morgan said. Every year, we always look forward to the holidays. It's one of my personal favorites. In the retail world, we're always looking forward to the holidays, and this year we have the added bonus of having the roller rink done just in time for everyone to arrive. Morgan is optimistic this year about the weather forecast for St. Nick to come in by helicopter. This year it's looking better than last year in terms of the low cloud deck, Morgan said. There's a very good chance of all that's going through. Santa will arrive by helicopter, and we'll have all the normal things that we normally do, plus a few more. We'll have cookies and hot cocoa. The fire department will have a truck out so kids can check that out. For the past couple of months, the ice rink at MCM has been transitioned into a roller rink. Due to the failure of the old equipment that was used to maintain the ice floor, the mall was unable to get it back up and running, and the decision was soon made to convert it to a roller rink. The whole purpose behind the ice rink was to provide a community arena where people can come in and do recreational skating too. And we could no longer run that due to the failure of the ice plant, Morgan said. The next logical step was asking what we could do with that space. Converting it to a roller rink seemed like the next logical option that we had available to us. Certainly, it has been well received by everyone that has come out so far. While Saturday will serve as the grand opening of the roller rink, Morgan said they've already had a soft opening of the rink floor. We're still waiting on some parts that will allow us to convert the bumper cars that we have for the rink that were designed for the ice, Morgan said. We ordered those supplies a few months ago, but due to supply shortages, we're still waiting on them. As soon as we get those parts installed, we'll be able to operate the same bumper cars on the hardwood floors, so we're excited to have that come as well. Morgan is anticipating the new rink to be just as popular with the community as the ice rink was. Of course, just by a stroke of luck, roller skating seems to be making a comeback, Morgan said. It tends to run in cycles, like it goes up and goes down, but we seem to be on the upswing right now, and that's very good. We wanted to minimize the amount of construction that we had to do, but hold true to our promise to the community to have a state-of-the-art roller rink. The rink includes a new wooden floor with a new sound and lighting system. We've also added a learn-to-skate area for toddlers that's separated by walls so they can learn to skate without worrying about getting run over by the bigger kids. Morgan said that's a big plus. One of the things that Morgan wants parents and kids to be mindful of Saturday during the outdoor festivities is the changing weather. We want people to bring appropriate clothing, Morgan said. It's that time of the year where it might be very cold in the morning, but by 10 a.m., it starts to warm up, so be prepared for all seasons. Of course, if you have COVID concerns, make sure you bring a mask. There will be a lot of people at this event, but it'll be outside for the Santa landing. Everything will then move indoors. Sanitation stations will be provided, and we'll be doing everything we can to make sure this is a safe and family-friendly event that people can enjoy. If you go, what? Santa landing. When? 10:30 a.m. Saturday. Festivities start at 9 a.m. Where? Northwest parking lot at Music City Mall near Burlington. If you go, what? L.A. Roller Girls. When? 11 a.m. Saturday after the Santa landing. Where? MCM Rink and Roll Skate Rink inside the mall. COVID-19 news by the numbers, COVID in the basin. Ector County, 26,175 total cases, 550 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 5 students, 1 staff. Midland County, 29,117 total cases, 377 deaths. Texas, 4,292,434 total cases, 72,909 deaths. U.S. cases, 47,145,861 total confirmed and 761,426 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/ TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH daily COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital daily COVID inpatient numbers as of 9 a.m. Wednesday. 30 total COVID patients in-house. Med-surg non-critical 19 COVID patients. 16 unvaccinated, 3 unknown. Critical care 11 COVID patients. 6 on ventilator. 9 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated, 1 unknown. Of the 6 COVID patients on ventilator, 6 unvaccinated, age ranges of COVID patients, 27 years old to 85 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Alpine, 2 from Andrews, 1 from Eunice, New Mexico, 2 from Fort Stockton, 3 from Hobbs, New Mexico, 1 from Hugo, Oklahoma, 1 from Kermit, 2 from Levington, New Mexico, 1 from Pecos. Quick hits. Court reporting informational sessions. Texas Court Reporters Association will be offering informational sessions for anyone interested in court reporting from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. today and Saturday at Odessa College, Gregory D. Williams Hall, Lecture Hall, Room Number 128, 2714 Robertson Avenue. For more information, call 432-335-6580, 817-300-0206, or 903-675-1806. Town Hall Events. State Representative Brooks Landgraf has scheduled the following upcoming Town Hall events. Today, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Parkway, Monahans. December 7th, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Andrews Senior Center, 310 West Broadway Street, Andrews. December 9th, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Poor Daddy's Barbecue, 123 North Mulberry Street, Kermit. During these events, Landgraf will discuss the 2021 legislative sessions. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/5fjv3c6f. Book Talk. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Book Talk at 6 p.m. today. Book Talk is the museum's book club that anyone can join in on as we discuss A Patchwork, A Life Amongst Clothes by Claire Wilcox. Visit noelartmuseum.org. Events. Night of the Playa, 3 simultaneous events benefiting programs of the I-20 Wildlife Preserve and Jenna Welch Nature Study Center will take place today. Red Carpet Event, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Basin PBS, 900 Wright Drive. Table sponsorships only. For a table or information, email Sandra at i20wp.org. Night of the Playa Gala, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. The gala will feature Playas, Land of Little Lakes, a PBS documentary covering the most important ecological feature in West Texas and the High Plains. Dinner and dancing to follow with Comanche Moon Band. For tickets, nightoftheplaya.com/events. Animal, Land, and Party, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Centennial Park, Midland, 200 West Wall Street, Midland. There will be food trucks and entertainment for all ages before the premiering of the Basin PBS documentary Playas, Land of Little Lakes on the big screen. Admission is free. Free public parking on North Baird Street and East Texas Avenue, Midland. Reserve your spot in advance at tinyurl.com/3nc25xjh. Visit tinyurl.com/3mn2 SCM6. Pre-order Christmas decor. Parks Legato Christmas Tree Market is almost here. Pre-order your trees and decor to secure your tree, wreath, garland, and poinsettia. When they arrive, pickup and deliveries will begin at 5 p.m. Friday. Fraser fir Christmas trees are $100 for 8 to 9 feet and $140 for 11 to 12 feet. Garland is $50 for 30 inches. Poinsettia are $15 each. Wreaths are $36 for 30 inches, $44 for 34 inches, $52 for 40 inches, and $68 for 48 inches. Delivery charge is $25 within 25 miles. For more information or to pre-order, visit tinyurl.com/V5U924FU. Noche Latina Concert. The Odessa College Guitar Ensemble will present Noche Latina at 7 p.m. today at Jack Rogers Auditorium. The ensemble will perform Latin jazz and classical guitar music. Admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/2FZADMX6. Shakespeare's Festival captivates students. This past weekend, audiences of children from different schools around the Permian Basin have been entertained by the cast members of the Texas Shakespeare Festival Roadshow at Odessa College's Globe Theater. The shows are a part of the annual Odessa Shakespeare Festival, which has made its return to the stage this year after last year's COVID hiatus. This is really amazing to return to in-person performances, Executive Director of Odessa Arts Randy Hamm said. We are really excited about it. The Shakespeare Festival is one of my favorite things that Odessa Arts does every year. This year we have 1,200 students from across West Texas, all coming here to see live performances of professional Shakespeare plays in our actual Globe Theater. You can't do that anywhere else. All week, there have been two shows performed each day with Twelfth Night and As You Like It. In addition, there will be two public performances with Twelfth Night scheduled to be performed 7 p.m. Friday and As You Like It at 7 p.m. Saturday. On Wednesday morning, students from the UTPB STEM Academy and Ignite Homeschool Co-op were in attendance for the performance of As You Like It. Everybody reads Shakespeare as part of school, but to actually see it performed, you're seeing things you wouldn't see on paper, Hamm said. Body language, staging, costumes, and inflection, the diction, and the language. It truly brings the story to life and makes it so much easier for the students to comprehend. For many of these students, it'll be their first time in a live theater. Raven Jeanette, who played the character Celia in As You Like It, and Viola in 12th Street, has enjoyed performing in front of school children this week. It's been a pure joy, Jeanette said. It's been great seeing diverse audiences and being on the stage and storytelling and inspiring the youth and having an impact. I think that's been a blessing to be part of. Jeanette says that playing different characters from different shows has been an interesting challenge. At times it can be confusing because some of the text is similar from both shows. But it's amazing going from one character to the next and telling two different stories, whether they are contrasting or not. It's great acting out Shakespeare's work and continuing to do that. Board approves remote learning. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees unanimously approved a resolution for a local remote learning program. Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction Lilia Nanez said about 50 students qualified for the program, which is expected to start November 29th. Instruction from certified teachers will be provided by Strongmind. The cost is $3,850 per student for a full year of instruction. It will cost an estimated $385,000 for 100 students. Nanez said the district will also reach out to students who do not qualify, who may have home situations where they are caregivers to an ill parent, for example. Elementary and secondary school relief emergency funds will pay for those students. Superintendent Scott Murray said he was in Houston Tuesday to talk to the city and county there about bringing affordable, high-speed broadband to the community. The Con Ector Task Force was used as an example of a community working together to solve the broadband issue. There will be a bond committee meeting at 6 p.m. today at the Permian High School cafeteria. In his opening comments, Murray and Luz Melendez from ECISD's bilingual department recognized retiring bilingual specialist Gloria Phillips. The board recap said Phillips is known to those in the bilingual department as Mama G and has served our school district for 47 years in a variety of roles and responsibilities. In other business, the board voted 6-0-1 to approve Texas Associations of School Boards Local Policy Update 118. These recommendations are to bring local policies in line with legislative changes. Delma Avalos abstained from the vote, voted 7-0 to approve a resolution of the board delegating authority to accept a contract employee's resignation effective before the end of the school year. This resolution and the one in item C designated which administrators may accept a letter of resignation, voted 7-0 to approve a resolution of the board delegating authority to accept a contract employee's resignation effective at the end of the school year or submitted before penalty-free resignation date, voted 7-0 to approve the quarterly investment report. The report represents investments for the months of July 2021 through September 2021. The district's investments are governmented by state law and local policies, voted 7-0 to approve the annual financial report. Every school district is required to prepare an annual financial statement, have them audited by an external firm, and submit them to the state, the recap said. The auditor, Whitley Penn, issued an unmodified opinion, meaning a clean report with no internal control findings related to financial report and no findings related to compliance, voted to approve 4 new members of the School Health Advisory Council, SHAC, Sandra Mendoza and Kathy Ochoa as parent members, and Sarah Henshaw and Christina Acosta as community members, voted 7-0 to approve Austin Keith, Robert Chavez, Tommy Irwin, Nelson Minyard, Dorothy Jackson, and Tom Sprawls as members of the Ector County Appraisal District Board, voted 7-0 to approve the consent agenda. This month's consent agenda included minutes of previous meetings, bills for payments, acceptance of donations over $10,000, $12,000 from New Tech Network to support students' access to college. Also, additional TESS appraisers, a waiver for remote homebound instructions for special education students, approval of National School Board Association annual conference session presented by Trustee Chris Stanley, and ECISD Chief Innovation Officer Jason Osborne, and renewal of Special Education Legal Services retainer agreement with Walsh, Gallegos, Trevino, Russo, and Kyle PC. Special presentations included the announcement of ECISD's top fundraiser for the 2021 United Way campaign, the recognition of Kay Crow, Burleson Elementary Volunteer, as the WD Noel Adult Volunteer of the Year, recognition of 4 ECISD nurses selected to the Permian Basin Great 25 Nurses, and introduction of the winners of the National Fossil Day Art Contest.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.